Welcome to Hashtag Sisters Sidebar. If you have a question for us, please email us at sistersinlaw@politicon.com or tag us on social media using hashtag sistersinlaw. But don't just type them. We love to hear your voices, and we will play it on air if you send us a voice memo instead of just a written email. You can email us a voice memo using any one of your notes apps, and we might play it on the show. Let's get started. We have some great questions this week.
Here's a question from Daniel. Jill, how about you take this one?
Hi, sisters. This is Dan from Renton, Washington. I have a question about FOIA, the Freedom of Information Act. So way back at Trump's second term and all the carnage that happened under DOGE, Jamie Raskin sent out a form, a FOIA form, and both my wife and I filled them out and sent them in February. And I was curious to know how long is that? I read something that there's a period of time for them to answer. And I understand some requests can take a long time, but how long does it take? And what's my recourse if I really want to push through and receive the information that we requested? Love your show. Listen every week. Thank you very much.
Daniel, I'm so glad you asked this question because I've had a recent experience with a FOIA request. And when I say recent, I actually mean 6 years ago, actually more than 6 years. While I was writing my memoir, I thought, wouldn't it be interesting to see what the FBI had about me? So I submitted to the Department of Justice and the FBI a FOIA request, which did not get answered when my book was published in 2020. But was recently answered. And I just have to say, when you ask how long it's going to take, well, more than 6 years for me. But I didn't want to just go on my personal experience. So I asked a friend who has been advising the Better Government Association, whose board I sit on. His name is Matt Topic, and he's a lawyer here at Lovey & Lovey and is an expert in FOIA. And I just want to tell you what he said, because I think it's important to know more generally. And what he says is it depends on the agency that you're asking to submit a FOIA. And of course, it matters whether it's the federal or the state, because there's all the states have FOIA laws as well. And it can take as little as a few weeks or 5 years or more, as my experience shows. But he points out that if your request is denied or if the agency doesn't answer within 30 business days, you can actually file a lawsuit. And then a court will determine what they have to respond to and how fast they have to respond and whether, when they do respond, if it's adequate. So I thought that was interesting information. And if you go on the BGA website, you can find out more about how to actually file FOIA requests yourself. Barb, here's a question for you from Donna.
Good morning, sisters. This is Donna from North Carolina. I love your shows. What are your thoughts about the situation with Qatar's free plane to the president? Was it given to him rather than the United States since Congress did not approve the gift? If it is his and he takes it with him when he leaves office, shouldn't he be responsible for any funds that were used for the plane?
Yeah, Donna, I think so many of us are just appalled about this gift from Qatar. You know, the Constitution provides that a president is prohibited from accepting foreign emoluments. An emolument means anything of value. And at the time, there was great concern about this because Benjamin Franklin had accepted a gold snuff box from the leaders of France when he had been the ambassador there. And people were quite upset about it because it suggested that perhaps his loyalty could be divided, that he'd received this gift, and could he really be trusted to be entirely loyal to the American people? Mm-hmm. And so that's part of what motivated this idea of, like, let's just say no gifts whatsoever from a foreign government, because we just don't want the president to ever be compromised or even appear to be compromised. compromise. And the president goes and takes this $400 million plane. Now, it's being used for his presidency, but as we just saw, it had to be taken out of commission. Hundreds of millions of dollars had to be spent to upgrade it, to make sure there's no listening devices in it, that it has the countermeasures necessary to protect him. It's not even up to the job, and it's going to take a while to, as he calls it, to max it out. They're maxing it out for safety. And then there's some talk that after he leaves, he's going to take it and use it at his presidential museum or library or whatever he calls it. No way. That's not how it's supposed to work. The problem is that in the Constitution, there's no remedy for a president who does. I suppose the founders thought that if any president were to do this, he'd be impeached because he'd be a high crime or misdemeanor and out he goes. And yet we don't have that. I think one of the fixes I would propose, shameless plug for my book, The Fix. One of the fixes I would propose is that Congress pass some legislation about what the consequence is. And I think a good consequence would be that any gift that is given to the president by a foreign country inures to the American people. And so it becomes the United States plane, not Donald Trump's plane. And he doesn't get to take it with him when he leaves office. Jill, here's one for you from Brenda in Portland, Maine. She asks, is it possible for the Democrats to impeach and convict Donald Trump and J.D. Vance in one go? And if both the president and the vice president are convicted, would the Speaker of the House, who could be a Democrat at that point, become president of the United States?
Such a good question, Brenda. And the answer is sort of complicated because I think the impeachment and trial that might lead to conviction have to be separate unless they are both accused of an impeachable offense that's identical. Because just as in our criminal courts, we don't try random people together for different crimes. You can try co-conspirators together. But since I don't know that that's going to happen, think about the logistics of this. If you impeach the president first, then the vice president becomes the president. And then you would have to go ahead and impeach and convict him. But in the interim, he would have appointed another vice president who would then become president. So if you could get the vice president to be appointed quick enough, then there would always be a Republican vice president who would become president upon the conviction. And so I think that it's probably not a viable way to proceed, even though it sounds like it might be nice to get a Democratic Speaker of the House who would be third in line for the presidency to, I guess, actually second in line, because first is the vice president, then the speaker would be the second. So I don't think it's really a viable possibility.
And, you know, after they exhaust all of those cabinet officials and high-level right. officials in the House. Did you know that the next person in the line of succession is actually Jill Winebanks? Everyone wants to curl up in a warm, comfy bed, so having the perfect mattress for your sleep habits is a must. After all, great sleep is critical to success, and there's nothing better for sleep than a Helix mattress. I first heard about them when they asked to sponsor our show, but we're very selective on hashtag sisters-in-law, so we wanted to try them out. Now, Joyce can't stop talking about how she aced the quiz that Helix uses to tailor your mattress to your sleeping style. She matched with the Helix Midnight mattress and has joined us in getting the best sleep of her life. Tossing and turning is a thing of the past. Now our families are getting them too, and they love finding their ultimate fit.
Joyce isn't the only one. Helix is the most awarded mattress brand by reviewers like Forbes and Wired. They have over 20 different models, and you'll love how they combine memory foam and individually wrapped steel coils for the optimal blend of softness and support. There are even enhanced cooling features to keep you from getting too warm during the summer nights.
We're impressed that Helix has been part of our hashtag sisters sleep habits for more than 2 years. Making the switch is such an upgrade. Since then, we've heard so many stories of people seeing incredible improvements in the quality of their sleep on their wearable devices, thanks to their Helix mattresses. Add that to free U.S. shipping with seamless delivery that comes direct to your door, a quick and easy setup, and a no-fuss trial policy, and Helix is an easy choice.
With Helix, you can rest easy with their seamless returns and exchanges. Their Happy with Helix guarantee offers a risk-free, customer-first experience with 120-night sleep trial and a limited lifetime warranty to ensure you're completely satisfied. So don't wait. Snuggle up on an incredible mattress this summer and beyond. Take advantage of their Best of Web extended 4th of July sale and go to helixsleep.com/sisters for 27% off site-wide. Exclusive for listeners of our show. That's helixsleep.com/sisters for 27% off site-wide. Exclusive for listeners of our show. Make sure you enter our show name after checkout so they know we sent you. Again, helixsleep.com/sisters. The link is also in our show notes. When you love seafood, you deserve the best. At the grocery store, you never know where it came from, what it has in it, or whether it's sustainable. Even worse, you never know how long it's been sitting out in the display case. We need a provider we can trust, which is why we wanted to tell you about Wild Alaskan Company. They offer the best way to get wild-caught, high-quality seafood delivered to your door on your schedule. Trust us, you haven't tasted fish this good.
We always recommend them, and it's wonderful to know our listeners, our friends, and family are all getting the best. Each Wild Alaskan box comes with individually portioned, vacuum-sealed fillets that are easy to prep and great for any meal, whether it's quick or elevated. I like to take one of the little salmon fillets and I just put it in the air fryer. I cook it up in a few minutes and it's a great meal for one. I make it for lunch all the time. All of their fish is quick, frozen, fresh from Alaskan waters, which helps lock in its freshness, texture, flavor, and key nutrients like omega-3s. Better yet, there are no GMOs, antibiotics, or other additives to their catch, which means it's fish you can trust.
You know, having just returned from Alaska, I can say seeing the waters there, you are absolutely convinced that you only want to eat Alaskan fish and seafood. And like us, you'll love how every order supports sustainable harvesting practices and Alaskan fishermen whose history is tied to the region and its practices. Plus, becoming a member means your deliveries are flexible and at your own pace. I love the Pacific halibut for a tasty treat that's low in fat, high in protein, and rich in omega-3s. It's a delicious whitefish that turns a savory-looking bright white when you cook it, and it is perfect with just a sear or a grill. And in the summer, it's just so cool to do it outside. I love it. But if you're feeling adventurous, it's also amazing in tacos or a curry. You need to try it all. And there are so many other amazing choices, Pacific cod, pollock, and much more, all to love.
Wild Alaskan Company is so confident that their fish is the best that they offer a 100% satisfaction and money-back guarantee, so you can try your first box risk-free. Go to wildalaskan.com/sisters for $35 off your first order of premium wild-caught seafood. That's wildalaskan.com/sisters for $35 off your first order. Thanks to Wild Alaskan Company for sponsoring this episode. The link is in our show notes. Here's a question from Welby. Jill, you want to answer this one?
Hi, sisters. Welby here. Question from Singapore. Reagan's line in 1980 was, "Let's make America great again." Trump dropped the "let's" and trademarked it. Words, hats, merch, and every future adaptation. So once he's out, could the Trump organization start billing the GOP or other candidates just to use any of it?
Welby, that's a great question. And I thought it was interesting enough that I wanted to get some expert advice. So I went to my sort of relative, Brad Cohn, who's a partner at a law firm here in Chicago, Pattershall, who is an expert in trademark law. And so I want to tell you what he told me, which is that basically, when something is trademarked, you can ask for a licensing fee. But there's also a First Amendment issue here because Make America Great is basically a political saying, and it may be that you can't, if you have it trademarked just for how it appears on hats, maybe you can't do a hat. But, you know, you could do a t-shirt maybe, and you could use it on a political advertisement because it is now just a political thing. So as long as the slogan is being used without commercialization, it may be one thing. Certainly in politics, it would be a different. So thank you, Brad, for that answer. Okay, Barb, I have a great question for you from Mark. He asks, why are Fauci's personal writings in the news? Isn't publishing them an illegal invasion of privacy?
Oh, this, I'm so glad somebody asked about Dr. Fauci. There's so much to say about Dr. Fauci. Well, the reason his writings are in the news, Mark, is that he made the mistake of writing them on his government computer, which when you sign on says right away, this is not your property. This is the property of the United States government. You have no privacy interests, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And he put them on there. And so, you know, the next administration found them and they've disclosed them. And he's been asked a lot of questions about them. And there's some things in there that are kind of embarrassing and, you know, kind of self-serving and self-aggrandizing, although he also says a lot of very real revealing things like, you know, oh my gosh, I'm going to lose my mind. Trump's a maniac. I'm paraphrasing, but things like that that wouldn't surprise you. But he was, of course, brought before Congress this week to ask questions, relitigating the pandemic of 2020, trying to cast aspersions on Dr. Fauci, trying to blame him for the virus, blame him for what Rand Paul, who's really on a crusade against him, calls, you know, a cover-up, blaming him for the response, blaming him for shutdowns. You know, I don't quite understand why it all is that they need a scapegoat like Dr. Fauci, but it definitely shows that when Joe Biden granted him a sort of blanket pardon, it was for good reason. You know, there are people who were very interested in holding him accountable for, you know, managing, maybe mismanaging, maybe not perfectly managing a real health and medical crisis, you know, doing his best and maybe not doing things perfectly. But I did want to talk about his invocation of the Fifth Amendment, because he did invoke it more than 100 times when he was asked questions. And he was criticized for it. And Rand Paul and others on the Senate committee have suggested that he was obstructing their investigation, should be held in contempt or prosecuted for obstruction of justice. Let me say this. He has an absolute Fifth Amendment right not to incriminate himself, as any one of us does. I know from time to time people say, Trump likes to say, you're guilty if you use the Fifth Amendment. Any of us has, and it is to protect us from what is referred to as the cruel trilemma that we find ourselves in when we're asked questions. We can either answer truthfully, which could implicate ourselves. We could say, I refuse to answer your question and be held in contempt, or we could lie. And we don't like any of those things in our system where it is the burden is on the prosecutor to prove a case against us. And so we protect people from having to face that cruel trilemma by just saying, I invoke the Fifth Amendment. I don't have to answer your question. And Fauci did that 100 times. Now, one of the reasons they say it was improper for him to invoke his Fifth Amendment right is because President Biden granted him a pardon. If you've got a pardon, then what are you worried about? You're not going to be prosecuted. But keep in mind that Biden's pardon was for crimes he may have committed in the past. No one's saying he did commit a crime, but because Biden knew how crazy the Trump administration was, he wanted to protect him because he was there. He gave the same to Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger and other people who participated in the January 6th committee. But that was for anything that might have happened in the past. What Dr. Fauci is worried about is he's going to testify before Congress and they're going to hold up, you know, something he wrote in his diary and say, aha, what you said today is not exactly the same as what you said 6 years ago. Therefore, you must have been lying and we're going to convict you for perjury in 2026. He doesn't have a pardon for anything he says in 2026. And that's why it's perfectly appropriate for him to invoke it today. This is not going to go anywhere. It was an absolute circus, you know, three-ring act, and it's all an effort to rewrite history and to disparage Dr. Fauci and scientists and others who work in our government.
Barb, I agree with most of what you said, but I think that in some ways, the personal statements that were revealed in the diary, the most persuasive are the ones that talk about how crazy Donald Trump was. And the others are sort of showing Fauci as just a human being. They make him very accessible and understandable. And I think he did a fantastic job in managing what was the most significant health crisis in my lifetime, and that probably we will ever have in the United States. So I want to say kudos to him. And if anything, you know, the attempted indictment of someone who answered questions totally honestly, just because they wanted to get him, shows why he was right to say, they're going to try to indict me for perjury if I answer any questions.
Sure.
And so he was smart to use the Fifth Amendment. Barb, another question for you from Evan in Austin, Texas. He asks, there are requirements to be president. Are there any to become a judge?
Fantastic question, Evan. And the answer is no. There is nothing in the Constitution that says that there's any qualification whatsoever. You don't even have to be a lawyer. Now, by historical example, by norm, whatever it is, every person who's ever been appointed to be a judge or justice in the federal system has been a lawyer. And I would imagine that if a president tried to nominate someone, you would hope that the Senate would decline to confirm that person and say that they're not qualified. But the Constitution doesn't say so. It really just talks about that there will be a judiciary and that judges may serve during times of good behavior, which means basically for life, unless there's a reason to impeach them. Now, states, there are at least half the states say that a person does have to be a lawyer and a member of the bar for them to be a judge. So really depends on the jurisdiction. But Evan, even if you're not a lawyer, you could still be on the Supreme Court someday under our Constitution.
And you could be Attorney General. You don't have to be a lawyer for that job either.
Learned in the law. You must be learned in the law to be Attorney General. Well, thank you for listening to Sister Sidebar with Jill Winebanks and me, Barb McQuaid. Keep sending in those great questions for next week's show. And if you send in a voice memo, we will try to play your questions during the next episode. Follow Sister Sidebar and hashtag sisters-in-law wherever you listen. And please give us a 5-star review. It really helps others to find the show. Please show some love to this week's sponsors, Helix Mattresses and Wild Alaskan. The link is in the show notes. Please support them because they make this podcast possible. Don't forget to pick up hashtag sisters-in-law merch and other goodies at politicon.com/merch. And see you every week on Wednesdays and Saturdays for new episodes of hashtag sisters-in-law and Sisters Sidebar.
Barb, why won't you talk about bras or toilet bowls?
On advice of counsel, I respectfully invoke my right against self-incrimination as guaranteed by the Fifth Amendment to the Constitution.